Luke 2, 8 through 15. This is the word of God. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This is the word of God.
On my heart, and he said, "Shalom, God's highest and most complete good be upon you." That is my prayer for you, my son. He left a staff with me, and I've looked for it, what he mentioned, shalom, all these years. When the angels came, there was no hint of wind, no clouds, just stars. So many stars. He showed himself to us suddenly. And there was an angel brighter than stars who spoke and said, "Do not be afraid. I have good news. Your Savior has... Your Savior has been born." And he lies in a manger. And then quiet. As if the whole world is waiting to breathe. A Savior, God's highest and most greatest good for us, for me. And then suddenly, multitudes of angels shattered the silence, saying, "Glory, glory, glory. God is on earth. There's peace on earth." My Father's prayers, I've seen. Finally, shalom, peace.
The hardest thing for a parent are troubled children. When you see your children struggle or suffer, when you see trouble in their lives, a parent's heart is cut to the core. The memory shared by the shepherd in the video was a father's response to his troubled child. And placing his hands on his son's head, he proclaimed a blessing on him. It's a biblical practice that we read of it in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Genesis. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all gave formal blessings to their children. An Old Testament blessing of a father to his sons included words of encouragement, details regarding each son's inheritance, and prophetic words concerning the future. And in Genesis 49, should you care to turn there this afternoon, maybe with a cup of tea, the Bible records the blessing that Jacob pronounced on each of his 12 sons, who would become the 12 tribes of Israel. To Judah, Jacob said, "Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you." The blessing also included a prediction that kings would come from Judah and that one king would eventually receive the obedience of nations. Judah's descendants later became the tribe from which King David came and in whose land Jerusalem was located. Jesus Christ, of course, would also come from the tribe of Judah, as Matthew so carefully records when he starts his gospel. It is this, the blessing of a father on his children, that we hear reflected in this morning's video. As we too bow before the baby born in the manger, who is the Lion of Judah, and now the King of the nations. I hear quite often parents speak about their children, sometimes directly as they worry about them, about their lives and lifestyles, and about the uncertain financial future that awaits them. Where is this world going? How can our economies sustain this? Will they live as well as we are? At other times, parents will speak of it indirectly as they put in place financial measures as they age so as not to be a burden to their children. Most parents take great care in leaving something for their children, spelled out carefully in wills, the terms of which are duly signed, witnessed, and notarized by the lawyers who have perfected their skills of writing thoroughly and precisely. Parents do this because we want to bless our children, to leave them something, so that they, in turn, can live out their dreams, to live lives hopefully better and more blessed than our own. You can't take it with you, after all. I sometimes have the radio playing in the background as I'm working on some administrative tasks in my office. And my music stream gets interrupted all too often by the advertisements that they so generously sow into the flow of my listening pleasure. I don't know if that has happened to you. You're streaming your music, and then the ads interrupt. The same advertisements that now also interrupt my YouTube clips. Ad nauseum. Videos will resume in 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Click here to skip the ad. You know how this works, apparently. An ad that is played with increasing frequency is the one that sells lottery tickets as the perfect way to bless someone at Christmas. Many people, says the advertisement, who have gotten lottery tickets in their stocking or cards have walked through the doors of our prize offices to claim a major prize. Countless others have gotten smaller prizes or have simply enjoyed the anticipation of wondering if they would be a millionaire. And then it goes on. Specially marked holiday tickets give players an extra chance to win with the limited Pick Your Present contest. Give the gift of big dreams, ends the promotion. And indeed, the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation, OLG, has launched a new brand platform for Lotomax featuring a new life coach who can help Canadians dream to the max. Have you seen it? A 30-second TV spot introduces Max, the brand's new dream coach, who is there to help bigify consumer dreams. He sits down next to a woman named Jane at a diner, and he asks her what she would do with the earnings of a Lotomax win. But her initial suggestion, a vacation, isn't grandiose enough. Max guides to think bigger until Jane has settled on buying a vacation home on a lake that she has named after herself. Want to bless someone this Christmas? Lotomax can help. Perhaps there is an underlying, sometimes somewhat sinister critique of the Christmas message. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Since that hasn't worked out yet, look after yourself. We'll give you a kick at the can, a chance to wealth unimaginable, to bless you and at your discretion all those in your circle of care. At a time of trouble, the shepherd's father comes over to his son. He places his hands on his son's head and says, "Shalom, son." Thereby echoing the song that the angels sang to the shepherds out in that field that night. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth and on my son. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Shalom, he said again to his son. Do you know what that means? Yes, I nodded. It means peace. And then my daddy, he knelt beside me and he took my face into his big callous shepherd hands and he said, "Yes, peace, but more." You remember what happened next? Then he put a finger on his son's heart and said, "Shalom." God's highest and most complete good be upon you. That is my prayer for you, my son. He will be called Prince of Peace, and there shall be no end to his peace. Isaiah 9. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Romans 5. Jesus himself is our peace. Ephesians 2. The mystery of the Christmas story is not the star. The mystery of the Christmas story is not the angels in the night sky. Nor is the mystery of the Christmas story found in the Magi who came from afar, bringing with them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because these gifts, in the end, just bling. Just things. Now, the mystery of the Christmas story is that peace, true peace, lasting peace, comes by way of a relationship with one who was born a baby in an ordinary stable, who is also the Son of the Most High God, seated on his throne, deserving of all glory. The mystery is that this God reaches down and places peace, his highest and most complete good, in our hearts when his Son takes up residence there. So that wherever we go, in whatever dark places we step in the world, and whatever horrible circumstances come our way in a world that is broken, twisted beyond the good that God intended for it and for us, with Christ and in relationship with him, we shall have peace. We shall experience shalom. We shall know, in spite of the darkness, God's highest and most complete good. It made this night and the birth of this baby different, holy. This Christmas, when you're in company of those who no longer go, who spurn the institution and choose to spend their time looking elsewhere for blessing, may I ask you not to say, I'm going to church, or I have to go to church because it's Christmas, and you should too. Instead, tell them that you're going to meet with a friend who fills you up and who gives you peace, who restores your soul with a sense of well-being, who manages somehow to meet you in your brokenness, to give you a sense of wholeness. And then, perhaps, invite them into the mystery of relationship, into the mystery of Christmas, with a baby born in a manger, now a king who serves, who truly serves his people, a king who, like the shepherd's father, longs to bless the people who he doesn't see as his subjects, but more like his very own children. Who wishes for us the highest and most complete good. people of God, how many of us still think of Jesus Christ as the highest and most complete good? The best thing that we can give to our children. How many of us spend more time preparing wills and buying presents? How many of us spend more time praying for our children's financial stability and well-being than we pray for their faith? That they may know Jesus, that they may see Jesus in them, that Jesus may not just be a story that we tell at Christmas, but Jesus is the one who is our highest and most complete good. So that when life takes a turn, when your children stub their toes on the brokenness of this world, on the darkness in the world, when their hearts are sad, and when your kids are downcast, they have someone to turn to. They have some peace in the midst of the darkness that life will surely bring, as it brings some to each of our lives. People of Hope Church, hear anew the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, on you and I, on all those who are near and far away, and that may include our children. Peace on them on whom God's favor rests. Shalom. Amen.